It's Marketplace Tech for December 17th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. As you've no doubt been hearing, the Federal Reserve announced yesterday that it's raising interest rates by 0.25%. This means investors may have more choices in terms of where to put their money. Could that mean less investment in startups? I'm joined now by a person who's been one of those venture capitalists and has been part of a startup as well. Brian Halligan is co-founder and CEO of the marketing software company HubSpot. Before that, he was partner at the firm Longworth Ventures. Brian, how will this interest rate change affect tech firms, you think?
I think there'll be a slight headwind on two sides, Ben. And I'll ask you a question. Have you seen the movie All the President's Men?
Oh, yeah.
Good movie. And in the movie, they say follow the money. So let's follow the money in the tech startup industry. It starts with the Harvard Endowment and CalPERS, as big pools of money, who decide, hey, should we put it in cash or bonds or public equities or venture capitalists? And when the interest rates are zero, boy, public equities and venture capital firms look like good places to put it. I think there'll be an ever so slight shifting towards cash and bonds, but very slight. That's sort of on the input. On the output, if you watch where the money goes, another slight headwind that's happening at the same time is the unicorns, those billion-dollar private companies, are getting marked down and they're delaying their IPO. So two slight headwinds balanced by sort of a, I think as an entrepreneur, I see it as a positive sign that the Fed is increasing rates. That means the economy is good. That matches what we feel in the marketplace as well. So little headwinds, little tailwinds. I think it's a wash.
Your company, HubSpot, went public last fall. Could this make it less likely that startups will actually go public? Is that sort of what you're talking about here?
Slightly less likely in my mind. It's slightly more attractive to put money in cash and bonds than in public equities or into a venture capital fund, a company like mine. I actually think the bigger impact isn't going to be the changes the Feds are making. I think the bigger headwind is we've had so many of these billion-dollar software companies, people call them unicorns. Some of them are really struggling, and they're being marked down, and their valuations are not worth as much as people thought. They're delaying their IPO. And so venture capitalists look at that model, and they become more skeptical, and they raise the bar a bit. So that, I think, is actually going to be a bigger impact on the IPO market than the Fed's decision yesterday.
Brian Halligan is the co-founder and CEO of the marketing software company HubSpot. Brian, thank you for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, one thing Brian pointed to going forward into 2016, as access to capital shrinks ever so slightly and unicorns get downgraded, the tech world might see more activity in mergers and acquisitions. Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and awesome, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. I don't know if you know this, but there is a Star Wars movie hitting theaters at midnight tonight. People were tweeting about Star Wars branded oranges on sale at the grocery store this week. So you'd have to be living a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away to not know about Episode 7, The Force Awakens. But here's something you might not know. One of the movie franchise's most memorable pieces of technology, the lightsaber, was actually a huge pain to make. I asked a guy who knows, Michael Fink, chair of the Film and Television Production Department at USC's School of Cinematic Arts. Michael, how did the Star Wars folks first start making this thing?
They decided on making the handles out of prop parts based on photo flash handles. And then from that, there was a rod that extended. The rod was coated with what's called retroreflective material. And a light was shown on the actors, which was so dim that it doesn't show up on the actors, but it bounces off of the retroreflective material. So to the camera, the sword glowed very brightly, but it was just white. And it really wasn't very interesting. And so the swords had to be fixed. And then there were lots of tests on how to make it glow and then to give it a color.
When did it get easier?
When they moved into the second three films, the effects became digitally manipulated, but still very similar in approach, although now the actual texture and feel of the light could be animated in ways that were virtually impossible in the 70s when the first Star Wars movies were made.
So the technology to render the technology got better.
Yes. Right? Yeah, the technology got better. It is absolutely one of my favorite visual effects of all time. And one of the main reasons that it's my favorite is not just that the effect was so unique and wonderful to see, but Ben Burtt's sound made it so real.
Interesting. It's a visual effect, but really the sound is really key here.
Ben's work was so brilliant and so simple, and things were really right on the edge at that point. And so Ben was recording electric motors under load, which make that hum. You know, they go,
yeah.
So he was recording that. He was moving microphones past transformers or electric motors that were making that hum, so he would get a Doppler effect. So they go, and mix them together just brilliantly into the lightsaber sound. So for me, the combination of the visual effect and the sound of them is so compelling and was truly unique. I mean, I saw the movie, walked out of the theater the day it opened at the Chinese Theater in Los Angeles, and it just drew me into the film, and I loved it.
Michael Fink is chair of the Film and Television Production Department at USC School of Cinematic Arts. Michael, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
May the force be with you.
Likewise.
There is a much longer version with Michael Fink about the lightsaber with much more about that technology. You can find it at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.